to meet you, man.
It's a pleasure, man.
Yeah, I've seen all your stuff.
Thanks,
awesome.
Dude. Yeah.
Absolutely. Pleasure.
All right, guys. Can I get everyone's attention? So we're going to pull the plug on the live stream. LinkedIn Live's giving us some issues. But what I want to do, first of all, thank you guys for coming out. I want to pass this mic around because we are recording. So anyone who's watching this on LinkedIn or YouTube afterwards, thank you guys for joining in, checking this out. So we're going to first start off by kind of passing this around and introducing yourself, what it is that you do, and you know, maybe 30 seconds about your story or whatever you want to share. And then from there, I do want to kind of go into a little bit of strategy about LinkedIn. And then Mr. Sam Lister is going to be talking about TikTok. So first, I'll start off, Zach Scriven. So I quit my job a year ago to be a full-time content creator on LinkedIn, pursuing video content around the industrial automation niche. At the beginning of this month, I started from California, and I'm on a 30-day road trip right now, filming a documentary about Industry 4.0, talking to different people. I interviewed Quentin Alams this morning for the doc, so make sure to... Oh, the dog is not allowed in here, yeah. So, but the dog, you'll see him in the doc. So, yeah, the documentary, again, it's Industry 4 Road Trip, and it's about Industry 4.0, but it's really about people and people and their stories and how technology is enabling us to do amazing things like connect. So, first off, I want to actually ask everyone to pull out their phones. We're going to open up the LinkedIn app, and I want to enable Nearby. So we can actually all connect very easily. And so that's, you know, the first tip. If you guys didn't know that, if you click the little people, the profile. Wait, no, now it's been a while since I've done this.
Moved it.
Yeah.
So right at the bottom right corner after you hit the people.
Wait, oh. Okay, the business.
So once you hit the, you press the plus person on the little blue circle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you hit the, on your bottom tray, you hit the two people, and then you hit plus, find nearby. So now, if you share your nearby status. Interesting. We'll learn something new today. So, once you guys enable that, we should be able to all kind of see each other. I imagine a lot of us are already connected, but. Tara, Quentin, Paul. So for those of you guys watching on here, we got, here's everyone's popping up. I don't know if that'll pull focus. So, Nicholas Stark. Where's Nicholas? I wouldn't be able to tell because your profile is set to private.
Oh, is it?
So that's tip number two. Make sure your guys' profile images are set to public. For some reason, LinkedIn has a strange thing where it'll make it private to second connections, which I don't know why you'd want that. So, thanks, Nicholas, for being an example. So, Ken. So, yeah, once you guys get that going, I guess we might as well just start off. I just started off, so I'm going to pass the mic. So.
What's going on, guys? My name is Jeff. I actually have an engineering background, just like Zach here. I quit my job last October, and I run a digital agency here in Milwaukee that focuses on mostly like paid advertisements for local clients like gyms, chiropractors, any sort of niche. And the LinkedIn game, funny story actually, I hopped on LinkedIn probably like last, I want to say like September for like the first time like ever. And then about a month later, I ran into Q on the street, right? Scared the hell out of him. He's like, you're the first person to ever come up to me, didn't recognize me on LinkedIn in Milwaukee area. And I was like, that's pretty cool. So sat down, had coffee with Q, and then just started talking about LinkedIn and made my first LinkedIn video in December and just started staying consistent, and we're here now. So yeah, that's pretty much me.
Thank you.
That is not how it went, actually. Like, you approached me, it's dark. It's really dark. Yeah.
It's scary. He's like, yeah, right.
I'm Paul. I started on LinkedIn maybe about the time you did, Jeff, I think a little bit after that, but I'm 19 years old. I go to MSOE, Milwaukee School of Engineering. I'm a sophomore this year, and what I did at the beginning of the year was try to branch out into the nearby Milwaukee and get to know residents, get to know startup companies, and so I started working for a company called Intro. And that is where I met Sam Lister, and then he was like, hey, you should do the 21-day challenge. So I did the 21-day challenge.
Started like you.
Absolutely. And so through that challenge, I learned a bit more about myself, and I learned about the power of LinkedIn to be able to connect with other people and learn those stories. I'm going to connect with Jeff soon, connect with some people out here. And so I've just been learning a lot. I'm trying to learn more in software and just become really good at that. And I'm going to document my journey through that and hopefully grow as an entrepreneur with all these people around me. Mm.
And you have no problem addressing the camera, too, which is cool.
Hi, my name is Tara. I also have an engineering background. I'm finishing my degree in industrial engineering at MSOE. And I'm kind of taking a more non-traditional route. Now I'm working with Tyler and Sam with Blank Slate Media.
Woo-woo.
And I'm just trying to get out of my comfort zone and stay out of my comfort zone, whether that be with creating content and just being more involved in the entrepreneurial community.
Yo. My name is Sam Lister. I help brands grow through leveraging video content, and I hopped onto LinkedIn in August of 2018, thanks to that man in the back, Quentin. I hopped on. I actually hated LinkedIn when I started. I hated video, but because I just kept going and just kept learning the platform, it's gotten me to where I am, and now I create content for a living. I might be being told to. Is audio okay?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
Sounds good. Just making sure. I make videos for a living, though, and I have a brand pretty much everywhere, but LinkedIn is definitely the bread and butter of my brand. And TikTok.
What's going on, guys? My name is Nick Stark. I actually just recently made the move here from Chicago to Milwaukee. This is my home now, and I love it. It's an awesome city. I'm here just looking at how to better utilize LinkedIn to make those good connections, become involved in the community, and both in the entrepreneurial and technology world. So that's what brings me here today.
All right, so my name is Ken Kodis. I'm a documentarian, which that camera's right there, my camera that I document Q for. And yeah, so I started LinkedIn about August of 2018, and I found Jeff and Sam and then the guy with the black cat, Q, who's basically my boss. And you are my boss. So with that, like, I just document the whole group of urban misadventures.
Hi, I'm Ali Subban, and I'm an immigration attorney. I help families, entrepreneurs, and investors immigrate to the United States. And I started using LinkedIn seriously about November of last year. And I'm here just to learn more about how to use the community to build a community and network.
Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
Does this actually work, or is this for that?
Yeah, no, it's just recording.
My name is Q. I do not have an engineering background, but I am all about testing things and trying new things. I created a bunch of videos on a bunch of different platforms and failed a lot. No one really watched. And then I moved to LinkedIn, and I was one of the first creators there. And I've since like leveraged it to grow my company, doing a lot of cool work, basically work with brands, people, help them build influence through story, through video, do a lot of other stuff. But I really just, I want to see other creators succeed in making money and generating leads and finding opportunities through the stuff that they're creating, regardless of the platform. But that is me, and I wear a black hat. Shout out to LinkedIn Live.
All right, good afternoon, everyone in the room and on LinkedIn. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Sandra Kenley. Background's in supply chain and operations management. I'm a commodity manager by day. And outside of work, I like to focus on personal development, self-growth. A lot of what my videos are tailored around is development, personal development, and work on a couple other projects on the side to continue to advance. And my biggest branding behind LinkedIn is just leveraging hashtags. So feel free to follow hashtag invest in you in some of my content.
What was it, invest in?
Yeah, hashtag invest in you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tyler. I work at Blank Slate Media with Sam and Tara. There I am a creative director. I create a bunch of stuff, work on all the client work, work on some internal videos. I'm not very good at the whole LinkedIn thing, but that's something I can improve on. I'm looking to improve on, and nice to meet all of you.
Good afternoon, Roger Firstenow. I work for the benefit companies based out of Brookfield, Wisconsin. My role there is really to meet as many business owners as I can, learn what their story is, tell them what our story is, and see if there's any way I can help them do what they do better. So my role and my goal for LinkedIn is to connect with business owners and business leaders and get a chance to introduce myself.
All right, I thought I was going to be last, but I didn't get that opportunity. But so my name is Joel, and I've been on LinkedIn since 2010. I was an intern in college, and I was in my senior year of college. I wanted to get an internship, and I was put onto LinkedIn by my current CEO, and he was like, "Dude, you just need to connect with people." So I ended up just getting a job with Direct Supply locally, and just using LinkedIn, leveraging it, but. Right now, I'm actually a headhunter, so any of you guys that are in school, like, I'm the guy you need to talk to, but I'm also the guy that annoys everybody on LinkedIn because I'm a headhunter. So really, I haven't leveraged like any kind of content until about 2 weeks ago where I made a post where I just opened up about my own struggles with mental health, and I was really surprised because a couple people messaged me and were like, "Hey, I'm suffering with this. I've had suicide in my family," and suddenly, and this was 2 weeks ago, suddenly I just felt like, okay, I have a story here and it's impacting people. And because of my job, I've been connecting with people for about 8 years and I'm connected with a lot of people. So I'm here to learn like how to get my voice out about my own struggles with mental health, because in the business world, I do feel like there's a lot of negative stigma and there's a lot of positive messages, which are good, but there's not a lot of acceptance of, hey, I don't feel positive. But I'm okay, and changing my mind won't work. So I'm looking forward to listening to you guys to figure out how you find your voice. And yeah, so thanks for having me here.
Hi, my name is Prince Solomon, and that is my real name. I've been in LinkedIn since 2010 as well, but never really utilized it to its full extent, and I'm kind of hoping to change that and learn more by attending these kinds of things, and hopefully on a personal level and on a business level as well.
Hello, I'm Heather Asianbi. I work with Prince at a law firm here in town, and I'm the marketing and PR specialist there, so LinkedIn is kind of a central part of our content marketing plan. What we're trying to do is use it as, we want it to be our influencer platform for attracting clients and as a recruitment tool for new attorneys, paralegals, other staffers. As we grow, our marketing department's going to get bigger, and eventually neither Prince nor I will be able to write it all. And so we're looking to use LinkedIn kind of to connect with more people in a creative space, but also, you know, you never know who knows other people. So to definitely utilize the network and the community to build our community up even more.
Awesome. And that's everyone. So, Albert.
Hey guys. So my name's Albert, and as of right now, I know I'm not on LinkedIn, and it's mostly, well, Zach persuaded me otherwise, but yeah, I'm here for the ride, the Journey 4.0, and yeah.
He's a co-pilot, also audio video engineer, also aspiring drone operator. Yeah. So in that case, Instagram is kind of going to be kind of more his primary platform, but I'm like, dude, there's no one doing drones right now on LinkedIn or TikTok, yeah. There's no one doing drones like at a deep, deep level, at least that I know of. Like, I put some drone footage out there, but that's not really my thing. It's more, you know, it's like, well, what is my thing, right? So you guys heard of story, right? Let's just write story on the board, because I think that's where we're going to take this. So when I say story, what do you guys think of? Like, shout out, like, what do you guys think of when I say story? What does that mean?
Experience.
Personal. Personal?
Experience.
Break. Okay. That's good. Okay, so when does a story occur? Is it?
Always.
Okay, good. You guys are already ahead. So obviously we have the past and we have the present. And then we also have, this is in the way, All right, I'm going to move this. The future. So I think, you know, obviously we're very familiar with the stories being in the past, but I think future really gets underestimated when we're talking about storytelling and the power of it. Sam does a really great job at this. Quentin, obviously, master storyteller. You got to think of this as a continuous journey, and it's okay to storytell from the past, obviously, your past experiences, but it's also okay to storytell about the future. This is something I also do. The documentary itself is an example of that, right? There was this idea that I had that I just started sharing. The reason why I got momentum behind the project was I was like, hey, guys, I have a proposed idea for a client, and I shared an image about, it's just a map of the United States with this road trip, you know, with all these crazy destinations. I think I also shared a document sharing some stats, like 11,000 miles, you know, 30 stops, you know, 160 hours of driving. People got really interested in that story, even if it had never occurred yet. It's a story nonetheless, and people got behind that. From there, it kind of pivoted. Originally, it was just going to be a deal for a company, but then that company wasn't quite ready to move forward with that yet. So I pivoted into a community. So I got multiple companies, right? Each one just chipping in a little bit, right? So the risk was lower. I wasn't asking as much from one company. I was asking a little bit less, but I felt like the value I was going to be able to provide these companies was worth it, and you know they came in and supported the documentary. I took a huge risk in doing that because obviously I could have just failed, right? I could have just gotten no one to fund it, and I was okay with that. You know, I think what people like about my content is that I'm very just I lay it all out there, very open, authentic, sharing the hardships, right? So that's one thing is a story. Think about the past, present, and future, and how those connect. And don't be afraid to dream, because I think that's really where you're going to start taking things in a new direction. So Quentin said this earlier. He's like, the way you can grow quickly on LinkedIn is by ultra defining what your purpose is, who you are. And we talked about influencer, and you know, I'm wearing the influencer hat. So So to grow quickly or to go anywhere, right, you got to know where you're going, right? So like when I took off on the road trip, I had to put in the destination of my first destination, right? I had to put in, from there, I had to put in the second destination. You got to know where you're going in order to get there. And so the same thing is true with LinkedIn. What are you guys trying to achieve? Are you trying to be an influencer and be a full-time content creator? Or are you, you know, at a law firm and you're just trying to get more leads, or you're a recruiter and you're trying to get more clients, you're trying to build that network? It's really important to define that first. And I see those as really not opposites, but I really see it as kind of two different versions of the word influencer. Influencer in the you know, kind of Instagram sense, where you know I'm doing brand deals, I'm doing promotional, you know, posts. So that's kind of the more content creator influencer. And then there's an influencer like Joel, right? I'd still call you an influencer, right? So I'd say if we had influencer right here. And I just really love that it has the in, and so that's why I just love that logo. But within influencer, we have like, you know, maybe you're a sales, right? Huge opportunity for sales executives on LinkedIn. Or maybe you're in marketing, right? You got to be on LinkedIn if you're in marketing. Maybe you are just a creator, right? You just want to, you want to fly drones for a living, you know? You want to travel. So, but really, this outside one doesn't really exist, because I think that everyone's an influencer. I don't think we need to make a distinguishment between, you know, what is social media and what is real life. I think they're all kind of merging to be the same. And so when you look at it that way, you just show up on LinkedIn like, yeah, I would just show up here. There's no need to be, you know, building confidence on camera is going to take some time. It's going to take some skill. But I think if you just view it as an extension of yourself, you view it as a network. You know, we have the physical world and then we have the digital world. Where's all the growth happening right now? Anyone? It's in the digital world. It's an infinite landscape. It's an exponential technology. And so I think by leveraging that, by understanding that, and just seeing it as really just kind of two in the same, you can start to build your personality, build your brand on LinkedIn, whether you want to be, you know, sales executive, you want to be a content creator full time, or you want to be a marketer. Everyone is an influencer. And so that's my message. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there. You know, many of you guys already are influencers, you know, from the traditional sense, right? Right, from the, you know, like you got lots of followers, and but right, like I said, we're all influencers, so it starts with influencing yourself. You guys gotta believe that. You gotta believe that you are worth putting your word out there. You gotta pride that value. You gotta believe in yourself, and I think it will take you far. And that's really all I wanted to share. So I guess if you guys had any questions, I don't know. Like I'm totally just winging this, so I hope it makes sense.
What are you posting on LinkedIn, and how did you get that clarity on
That's a great question. So, and I feel like I'm always in a continual iterative state of figuring out who I am and what I want to be. So it is a trial and error process. And it's kind of hard because sometimes you may look at a response to a post and it may be low, but maybe that's really the direction you want to take, right? So there is a balance of changing who you are to feed the algorithm or to meet the current needs of the audience, versus just staying true to yourself. Maybe that's going to take a little bit longer to grow. But I still think you still need to listen to the audience a little bit, because in the general direction that you want to go, there may be little micro steps that you might want to take to help serve your audience a little bit better. So it's, I mean, if I had the answer to that, it would, I'd probably already have a million followers. But I'd say just kind of continue to iterate, put it out there, and then let it be like a sounding board to figure out, all right, yeah, this is something that, you know, people want to see a road trip. They want to follow that journey with me. You know, there was another trip I was going to go to Japan, and I had a sponsor lined up and everything. I was actually on the way to the airport, and it fell through at the last minute. So what did I do? I just got on LinkedIn. I got on my video camera. I was like, guys, I failed. I told you I was going to Tokyo. I was like, I'm going to Tokyo. Like I said, I posted a video. I want to go to Tokyo. I got a sponsor lined up, and I said, I'm going to Tokyo in another video a few days later. And then finally, day of, I was like, you know, I failed. But that's okay, because I knew that was part of this process, right? If I didn't make that audacious leap, quitting my job, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't say, hey, I want to go to Dubai, I wouldn't have been in Dubai in this January. If I didn't say, hey, you know, there's this conference in South Africa I'd really love to go, I wouldn't have gone to South Africa this March. So I've been traveling the world on the road trip. Like, it's amazing things, but I really wanted to share that. Like, the influencer hat is not about me. It's about you guys. It's about chasing your dreams, just thinking that there is a way that you can get there, and then taking those steps to get there. Believing in yourself starts with influencing yourself first, and then you can influence others once you know, like, that general direction you want to go. There will be people that will support you. They are there. Trust the algorithm. Let it do its thing. It will connect you. Right? Use the right tools. Right? Use the hashtags. Use keywords. Have a compelling headline. Right? You want to have engaging video or engaging text posts, so that way you are actually getting that engagement to reach more audience. And, you know, I think someone said it earlier, it's like those people may not be your direct customers, but maybe they know someone who will be. So you kind of have to you got to feed your network, right? So, you know, you kind of have, like, imagine this is like your network right here, right? You know, and then you have this, and then, you know, this goes out there. This is all LinkedIn is. It's just a network. So you kind of want to just keep feeding it, right? It goes both ways. You just keep, you know, feeding it. And eventually some of that will kind of flow back into you. So, any other questions?
I think an important question that I think would be cool to share with the audience is to create more creators and to think a bit more about how we start these stories is, why do we commit to becoming an influencer? Why do we commit? Because you were saying earlier, like, you need to commit to your life, but you also need to commit to influencing, because reality and social media is becoming the same thing.
Right.
So commit, right? But why?
Yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, I think I've said this before. It's like, I'm not even really doing this because I want to. I'm doing this because this is a reality, that technology is changing, it's taking over the world, and I could choose to just be like, oh, you know, that this seems like too much work. It's a little bit scary. I'm good, right? And then Well, I have a family, right? I have a 3-year-old daughter that it's my responsibility to take care of her and make myself financially viable in the future, right? And maybe that's a little bit, like, I kind of maybe lean more towards, like, the, you know, it's not doomsday or anything like that if you're not an influencer today, but I do think that everyone should be on social media in some capacity. You know, like I said, whether you're, you know, just, you know, not all jobs are going away. Not everyone's going to be just, you know, traveling the world, you know, making videos, right? Someone needs to be making these products. Someone, you know, there's going to be customer service, but I still think that it's a matter of that's the way things are heading. And so I want to be on that leading curve rather than that trailing curve, because if I didn't jump on LinkedIn a year ago, I wouldn't have had that early growth. It'd be a little bit harder to do what I did a year ago today. It's still possible, but, you know, maybe TikTok might be a little bit more, you know, land grab right now. So any other? That's a great question, though. Yeah, like I said, it's not even because I want to. It's just because I realize that that's what it is. So I realize that that's what I need to do in order to make myself. It's really our responsibility. We owe it to the world, you know. Like, I took out that bravery that to take that leap because I'm like, you know, there's people out there that need to hear that story. There's someone out there right now listening to this that is in a 9-to-5 job, unfulfilled, wants to, you know, maybe they want to do something better with their life. They feel like they have that purpose, and so they need to hear that. So it's like my job to, I owe it to the world, you know. Our life literally means nothing except for the impact that we have on other lives. So you get to choose that. You get to choose if you have a positive impact, you get or no impact, or a negative impact. So it's really our responsibility. We owe it to the world to bring our true value to the world. And I think social media is a great way to do that by leveraging those exponential technologies, you know, being able to reach all the way around the world. I was live yesterday, and someone was like, "You're coming in loud and clear from Australia." I mean, think about that. So it's like, wow. great question. Sam?
What if you... So I know there's a lot of video creators on the platform, not only on LinkedIn, but across social media. Like, what if I'm not a creator? Like, how do I even start? What do I talk about? What if I don't think I have any value to add to my audience? Like, if I'm just a 20, 21, 23-year-old kid right out of college or something, what do I talk about? I don't have any job experience. I don't have any professional experience.
Yeah. So I think a great place to start, I posted this the other day, was, you know, if you don't think that you have an audience, just speak to yourself 2 years ago. Say, hey, you know, when I made the decision to go to this college, you know, I was imagining to be an engineer, but then I kind of switched more into marketing, and this is why I did that. Someone's going to find value in that. And even if they don't, even if no one watches it, it's an important step in the process in order to get you to that next level of confidence. It's all just a building block to the next step. I mean, like even this documentary that I'm filming, it's the first one. I've never done a documentary before, but that shouldn't stop me from doing it in the first place. And then that'll help me learn, do I even like making documentaries, right? It's like, maybe I never want to do that again, but I wouldn't know unless I tried. So there's a balance of sharing your information, sharing value, sharing stories, or, you know, occasionally you could put that ask in there. You could put that, say, hey, you know, tag some influencers down below. I want to connect with some new people. You know, if that's all you posted, eventually people are gonna be like, you know, all you're doing is asking, like, it's kind of gimmicky, right? It's okay to do that every once in a while. But yeah, I'd say if you didn't know where to start, just start by sharing where you were 2 years ago, or just sharing where you're, you know, what you want to be, or what you're doing right now, I think is a great place to start.
I got a question. So how would you balance, so everyone's in different situations. So there's entrepreneurs who are representing themselves, there's people who are business owners looking to create traction for their business. What would you say to an employee like myself that's trying to tell a story? How does that align with, for example, what my employer's story is? And how do you balance finding your voice but still relating to what your employer's business is, for example? So personal branding versus what your overall company brand is, and then what's the importance of making sure the two line up?
I think you had a really good, you guys had a, I think you were talking about this earlier, weren't you?
For us, for the law firm, so the law firm has a very distinctive voice. And so what we're trying to do is put out content that tells the law firm story through our various practice areas. And we have a couple that are fairly active right now. We have a hospice and palliative care practice that does a podcast every 2 weeks. So we're putting that out on a consistent basis. That's one voice. Then we have one of our attorneys. He's kind of a rogue attorney. He uses the camera on his computer and shoots these videos. They're like 2 minutes long. What are they doing? WebEx. That's what he uses to shoot the videos. They're super high quality. But they're super popular because he's like, I'm going to talk to you about foreign companies and tax implications. And you would be surprised at the traction that they get.
Right.
And then we have another attorney who is kind of getting out in the public eye to talk about legalization in Wisconsin. She's kind of an expert on that now. So the firm has a voice, and then the practices have a voice. So what we're finding a challenge and an opportunity is, how do we kind of smush all of those together? And what we're kind of discovering on trial and error is that we're just not going to do that. We're not going to smush them together. The firm has a voice, and the practices have a voice. And then we'll just put them out as they come.
So you're okay with the different voices?
Yep. Mm-hmm. We have to be.
Okay.
We have to be, because we don't have a choice at this point. Where I think the balance is for me personally is... I come from a media background, so I'm not used to putting my personal opinions out there, because I always had to be Switzerland, right? Like, I had to be I can't take an opinion on anything because I'm a member of the media. Well, I'm not a member of the media anymore, but I do work for a law firm now, so I still have to be careful. So that's kind of where my personal challenge is right now, is I'm unsure how to express myself on LinkedIn, knowing that, you know, I have the law firm's name on my profile.
Yeah.
So I would say the two things that popped in my mind when you asked the question is core values, because I feel like every organization should have a set of core values. So identify which ones speak the most to you, and maybe through your personal story you can kind of tie that in. And then the second one would be, every industry is different, whether it's a service, it's a product, it's a material. So maybe if there's a way that you can integrate what type of whatever the company that you work for is providing, so like headhunting, you could maybe talk about your experience. I don't know if it was like, if you've ever leveraged a headhunter before, you could kind of tie in your past experience kind of to the story topic on how that integrated within your life.
Yeah.
So I think core values, and then the type of service or material that your company provides, and speaking to how that integrates with you personally.
Awesome. Are you asking more from like, I'm afraid my boss won't like it, or like clarity on how to do it?
That's something that I want to be careful with, especially if I'm talking about things like mental health, because we have clients who are huge, and if I'm tied into the company, do I obviously have a responsibility to care? And my CEO is very open. I mean, one of our core values is entrepreneurial integrity, being real. And he's a friend, but I would hate for the $3 billion company to tie everything together and go, oh, so you got this crazy whack job working my project? We're done with you? So it's just understanding.
You did your company a... whether your company realizes it or not, you did them a favor. Because if you truly are aligned with their core values, then you're filtering out clients that you shouldn't be working with anyways. And I think it is it's an interesting conversation that you might need to have with your employers. I know that is the fear of a lot of people. And even when I ask people that work for companies to do interviews for the docs, they're like, well, I got to make sure that the PR... I'm like, well, no, I'm not asking you as an official representative of Rockwell Automation. I'm asking you as... your own personal opinion. And this is some notion that people aren't really quite used to yet, individuals being media companies, right? Like Zach Scriven Media. It's, you know, I'm not CNN, I'm not ABC, I'm Zach, you know, it's just me, right? So I think maybe you may have that talk with them, do a little education with them. Look at Jackie Hermes. She's a great example of how you can be a thought leader without ever really talking about your company, but get massive inbound leads for your company, because they're going to click on your profile and they're going to see where you work.
Yeah.
Then they're just going to want to discover more on their own. And it's almost kind of like I almost Jackie never talks about Acelity, right? She never says, hey, you know, we're doing this like sale or we're looking, you know. And I joked with her one time. I was like, you know, you deserve a promotional post, finally. Like, you never talk about Acelity, like, maybe one video, you know. But I think that, you know, obviously people have bills to pay, so you can't really just be like, all right, well, you know, if you guys don't like it, you're going to, fire me. It may be that may be the case, but you may need to tread lightly and figure out how you're going to approach that. But ultimately, I mean, you think about it. If you're having to be scared that your company is not going to say what you truly feel deep down inside, then that's probably not the best company for you. And they're probably thinking a little bit backwards. So you might want to safeguard yourself from that company. You know, if you're not able to convince them yourself, or, you know, kind of show them with some examples of how you building your own personal brand would still benefit the company, then you might need to look at, and that might be a good sign to look. Don't do what I did. Don't do what I did. Yeah. How are we doing on time here?
Hope that show the ROI.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I used to do for a living. I would go into companies and teach them, like, your employees and the brand. Like, big hesitation. Just show the ROI. Yeah. It'd be fun.
So,
she's one of our clients. She made like 300K ARR plus what she was doing before, just from video. Like,
wow.
It's there. Just one person. Yeah. Everybody was doing it.
So we got about 10 minutes left. I want to pass the mic over to Sam. He's going to talk a little bit about emerging platforms. So like I said, a year ago, LinkedIn video was going crazy, just massive organic reach. It's kind of since normalized. Now seemingly everyone's creating LinkedIn videos, doing 30-day challenges for their first 30 days, right? So just a stream and flood of video content, more creators hopping on the platform, which is good, but naturally it's a little bit more crowded. So and eventually, LinkedIn might die, right? We don't necessarily know. Like, look at MySpace, look at, you know, Snapchat. Like, some of the platforms that if you just went all in on and stayed, then you might be irrelevant. So you want to always be on the lookout for new and up-and-coming things. You know, the 79-21 rule Gary Vee talks about, like 80-20, but 80% on your main primary platform and then 20% experimenting, tasting other platforms to see, hey, you know, maybe I was an Instagram influencer, but then I saw LinkedIn, and I'm like, hey, LinkedIn has a little bit more opportunity for me right now. It's a little bit better for reaching my audience, B2B engineers, right? So and I think Sam has a great point of view on this, being that he's younger than me. You know, I just turned 27, and so now I'm starting to feel a little old. So we got to look to guys like Sam to, you know, do that experimentation for us. And, you know, in my field, it's always been kind of slow to change. And so I was like, man, these guys, they just don't want to upgrade. They just don't want to move forward. And now, like, I'm almost at risk of being that person myself. So I think we need to be self-aware of that and just keep an eye on emerging platforms. And whether we like it or not, maybe I'll have to start creating some TikTok videos.
Yeah, so I started creating... I guess I'll give you guys a little backstory. I created my first video in April of 2018, so kind of like spring of last year. I started off on Instagram and Snapchat, any other platforms that normal 18-year-olds were on at the time, still are on at the time. Hopped over to LinkedIn in August of 2018, which was super, super funny for me because I was pretty much just shitting on LinkedIn months before that. Like, I hate LinkedIn. I will never hop on there. There's no place for teenagers on there. There's no place for non-professionals on there. But then once I started actually creating content on there and people started noticing, and I was just telling my story. Like, I don't have a super crazy success story. I haven't sold a billion-dollar company. But I was talking about the process of actually doing that. So that's where LinkedIn kind of came, and I just hit the ground running. Time Billy always talks about momentum. So that's all that it was. I found a little momentum and just ran with it. And that's when LinkedIn was super, super new still. LinkedIn released video in 2017, so that was 2018. So only about 1 year of video. That's exactly where TikTok is right now.
Wow. It was already a billion.
Yeah. How many of you guys are on TikTok right now? Anyone here?
Like 6 years.
Yeah, Musical.ly. So it was Musical.ly. A Chinese company bought Musical.ly, I believe, merged the two, and now it's TikTok. So it's been around for a while, but under this TikTok brand, it's been a year. Mm. So they just crossed 1 billion users. It's like 600 million plus monthly active users.
Musical.ly was in Gary V's Crushing It. Oh, I'm mic'd up, so we're good.
Right, mic'd up. Was it?
I didn't. Yeah, yeah. Cool. And also Top Buzz. I don't know if that's still around, but Top Buzz's parent company was also owned Musical.ly. But yeah, Musical.ly was one of the platforms that Gary V talked about in Crushing It, which when I read that book, that's what flipped a switch in my brain to realize I could pursue this. And it wasn't but 3 months later that I actually started doing it full time.
Was it Crush It or Crushing It?
Crushing It, yeah.
Really? Interesting. Anyways, TikTok, for anyone who doesn't know, it's just short form videos. It's pretty much, it's similar to Instagram, but without pictures. It's just short form video. So 60 second length, a lot of vertical videos, and it's a super, super young audience right now. It's like 70% of the people are under 30 years old, I believe, but there's still like 30% is above 30 years old. So it's not like there's only 13, 14 year old girls on the platform. People are already doing multi-million-dollar brand deals on there, and we see the biggest companies in the world hop on. I know Complex kills it, Barstool kills it. A lot of like Gen Z millennial consumer brands are absolutely crushing the platform. And you see a guy like Gary. Obviously, Gary's on pretty much every single social media possible, but even his TikTok audience is like consistent 300,000-500,000 views per video. So the audience is there, and it's not like you need to be a 15-year-old girl hopping on all the dance trends. Like, people think you need to be super, super young to hop on. But if you're a little older, you stand out on the platform, and that's when you can really grow. That's why I think I found early growth on LinkedIn, because in general, LinkedIn is a little older audience, and me as an 18, 19-year-old hopping on and consistently creating content every single day for hundreds of days, like, I stand out in that sense because I'm not the typical target audience. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly where we're at with TikTok. Right. Super big opportunities in there. I'll keep it pretty short. Open it up for any questions. Q.
So, I'm using it, and I've been on it since, it first started, but I haven't really, used it. What would you say to someone, in terms of, I want to devote a lot of time there. But for everybody else, let's say, okay, LinkedIn's the place for me because my audience is already there. TikTok, my audience isn't there yet. How do I balance that and that and still build an audience and take advantage of the fact that it's new?
Yeah, so going back to Gary's 80-20 rule, I am personally B2B, so I sell to other businesses. I still need to devote a majority of my attention to LinkedIn because that's where my leads are coming in. But with the extra 20% of time I don't spend on LinkedIn, I'm testing other platforms. I'm testing YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, a lot of different platforms with the extra time I have outside of just LinkedIn. So I don't think you should go all in on TikTok I'm going to drop every other platform and go all in on TikTok. Keep dabbling and keep building brand everywhere.
Maybe you do. Maybe you do want to do that.
if you do, then props. Yeah, it's just diversify your portfolio of content. If one platform dies, if Instagram dies, look at how many influencers would die also. Vine is a classic example. The people who got big on Vine, Logan Paul, the Logan Pauls of the world, they adapted to YouTube. And the ones who adapted, now they're the biggest influencers in the world. So it's just adapting and changing early.
I got a question for you. Is it viewed more of entertainment or is it informational? The types of videos that you're making, is it pure entertainment or is it here's my message?
Yeah, it's a mix of both. A lot of the content on there is entertainment based, but I feel like that's majority social medias in general. When they're first starting, Instagram just started off as photographers, or in the early stages of Instagram, it was just photography and aesthetically pleasing stuff. But now we see more business content, informational content. Gary still posts a lot of his normal content on there, tailored to the app, but that's more business informational based.
So we do have this room until 1, so it is kind of getting close to that time here. We do have food. I kind of want to maybe put it out there, so if you guys are hungry, there's some snacks. And then hopefully they don't kick us out right at the dot of 1. Thank you to the Hudson for hosting us.
Thank you.
I did pay for it, but still thank you. And again, thank you for everyone for coming out. I really do appreciate it. I hope you guys got some value out of it. And I'm going to have to watch the video again to catch all your guys' names again because I'm just horrible at that. But
everyone
I really
is.
Do appreciate, you know, when you think about it, you know, I'm just about to cross 10,000 followers on LinkedIn, and that's like more people than I might meet in my lifetime or just about, right? But so when I think when we meet in person like this, that actually makes it that much more of a stronger connection, right? So if we look at our node, right, you know, like I said, you know, you guys may not be purchasing Sam's services, or maybe you will, but maybe someone you will know, or vice versa, someone Sam knows might be a lawyer or looking for a job, right? So I think let's take this connections and let's you know, obviously connect and then take this offline online, and we'll see you guys.
Agreed.
All right, let me grab this.
Oh,
sorry. What's that?
Where can we get the hats? You got a store yet?
Oh, yeah, I want to. Everyone keeps asking me, and so I think I need to make that happen. And I think I'm just not going to ask. I think LinkedIn, I'm just going to just sell it, you know? Ooh, that looks pretty good.
Nice seeing you.
Yeah, I honestly